Across the United States this week, thousands of men from Arab and Muslim nations are lining up to be fingerprinted, photographed, and interviewed at local immigration offices. Tomorrow is the latest deadline in the phased visitor registration system. It's a national security measure ordered by Congress to track foreigners who may pose a security risk. But hundreds of men who registered last month were arrested for immigration violations and put into deportation proceedings. That prompted civil rights groups to file a class action lawsuit charging the program is discriminatory. NPR's Jennifer Lutton reports.
At the Dar el-Hijra Mosque in Falls Church, Virginia, more than 100 men settle into rows of folding chairs as a few wives and children sit to the side. It's a snapshot of America's diverse Muslim population, from dark-skinned African immigrants to light-skinned Persians, some wearing a traditional knitted kufi cap, many in sweaters and jeans.
Can everybody hear me well with this microphone?
They've gathered after Friday night prayers for a seminar on the government's new registration program. Immigration attorney Michael Hadid opens his talk acknowledging that many have been prompted to come by fear, worried the INS will say that they are here illegally.
You know, I've never seen so many distressed people in my life in practicing immigration law, from people who are coming to the office, even to see grown men cry at times.
Hadid explains who must register. Males 16 and older from 19 Middle Eastern and North African countries, plus North Korea, and who are here on temporary visas. Refugees, permanent residents, and naturalized citizens are all exempt. Anyone who should register and does not is subject to deportation. Hadid then fields a stream of questions.
Now, there's a fellow, he came here on visit visa, and then before that expired, he got H-1 through Company A.
This man asks, what if someone came on a visitor's visa, but then got hired and is waiting for a work visa? Another asks, what if you're between jobs? And what if you've just married a U.S. citizen? That's good, Hadid says.
In the last couple of weeks, the marriage rate went up.
Hadid tries to be reassuring. He tells the men they can contest a deportation order before a judge, but he also warns that in many cases, the INS is taking a hard line, and it's this strict approach that has confused and angered immigration lawyers as well as their clients.
I got by surprise, you know. They caught me by surprise, basically.
A man we'll call Ibrahim is among those who registered and now faces deportation. He's a Yemeni in his early 30s. He chats in a bookstore cafe, wearing a V-neck sweater and wire-rimmed glasses, but doesn't want his real name used for fear that speaking out will hurt his case. Like many arrested, Ibrahim had once let his visa expire, but under a forgiveness program, he paid a $1,000 fine and applied for his green card. He was waiting for the INS to approve that, a process that can take years. And he never imagined he was vulnerable until he was in line at the INS office.
There was one person who was ahead of me. I just saw him handcuffed right in front of my eyes.
Ibrahim was next and spent 3 days in jail before his family could arrange bond. He says the ordeal left him feeling trapped, intimidated, and unwanted by the U.S. government.
That's the feeling I think I'm feeling, that they would think that this country would be better off if there will be not a single Middle Eastern or Muslim in this country.
The arrests have prompted street protests by family members and activists, harsh criticism from several congressmen, and a lawsuit by a coalition of civil rights groups. They all charge that by targeting Arabs and Muslims, the INS program amounts to discrimination. Jan Ting of Temple University Law School says yes, it does, but in times of crisis, that's okay.
And my example is that if the Ku Klux Klan is engaged in a bombing campaign against black churches in the South, it makes sense for law enforcement to keep an eye out for white guys driving around in cars at night in the vicinity of black churches. That's entirely appropriate for the government to do that.
In light of the 9/11 terror attacks, Ting says tracking Muslims and Arabs makes perfect sense. He notes during the hostage crisis with Iran in the 1980s, the government registered Iranian immigrants. That, too, was challenged, but Ting says the courts upheld it. Immigration law, he says, simply has different standards. Immigration lawyer Denise Sabah does not argue that, and she agrees the INS should do a better job of tracking foreigners. But Sabah says arresting people waiting for green cards simply overburdens an agency that's already underfunded.
It makes no sense, because what you've done is you've wasted tremendous resources putting people in jail and having to set bonds and having them to come and put up the bonds and then get out of jail. For what? When all these people are entitled to have permanent residency.
Sabah says a true terrorist is not likely to show up to register. Chris Kobach disagrees. He's with the Justice Department, which oversees the INS. He notes that Al-Qaeda hijackers went to great lengths to remain in the U.S. legally. A terror cell member, Kobach says, may well try to bluff his way through an INS interview. And so he defends last month's detentions.
The holding was done while background checks were being done. So where every individual who is out of status and from a state sponsor of terrorism, we felt it would be improper. And indeed, I think most Americans would think that it would be very scary for the INS to let someone in those circumstances back on the street without doing an FBI background check just to see if they're on a terrorist watch list or to see if they're a wanted felon.
The current registration is part of a broader program that's tracked Arab and Muslim men as they arrive in the U.S. since last September. So far, Kobach says the Justice Department has registered 40,000 people. Nearly 250 have been refused entry because of past crimes or immigration violations. Kobach says one person was found to be associated with terrorism, but he can't give details. The others registered will be required to check in with the INS every year they're in the U.S. and when they leave.
If you're going to have lots of aliens in your country, as we want to, it makes sense to periodically just check up and make sure people are doing what they said they're doing.
Back at the bookstore cafe, Ibrahim says more than anything else, his possible deportation makes him sad. He came to the U.S. from Yemen more than a decade ago and has worked his way through a bachelor's degree and now a master's. He says he cherishes the freedoms of life here and hopes to instill them in his children, who are American citizens.
What matters for me is my family, basically, you know, and I'm doing this all for my family because, you know, I'm very grateful to this country for the education that I had, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get it for my kids.
Ibrahim isn't sure how he'll be able to do that if he's sent back to Yemen. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Falls Church, Virginia.